So as some of you know, I was not here last Shabbat. If you don't know that, it's because you weren't here last Shabbat. That's not good. But I was not here last Shabbat because I was attending the benot mitzvah of my twin nieces in Maryland. So it was good. It was a nice reason to not be here on Shabbat. But the rabbi asked if I would say something, and because it was about my two nieces, I started to think about a certain way of looking at the Torah, because that portion, of course, last week was Noah, and this week is Lech Lecha. And you might say that the difference between the two, for all the other differences, is one is about the character of one kind of person, the person Noah, I'll talk about in a minute, and the other is about Abraham. And the rabbis spend a lot of time, and so have later commentators, talking about how great Noah was or wasn't, and comparing him to Abraham. Noah is called Tzadik Bedorotav, righteous in his generation. And the rabbis use this both ways. Sometimes they say, you see, he was especially righteous because in a bad generation, to be righteous is exceptionally difficult. Peer pressure tends to make you worse if the people around you are bad. But other rabbis say, no, it's to his discredit. They're saying, Noah was righteous in his generation. If you would have put him in a normal generation, he wouldn't have been so great. So you can see it either way. And that's one of the reasons why then the rabbis go on to compare him to Abraham. Abraham, they say, is a much greater man than Noah. Which you can see for at two easy reasons. There are lots of reasons, but let's take two. One is that the Torah says, Et Elohim hitalech Noah, that Noah walked with God. It's a beautiful thing. But what does God say to Abraham? Talech lifanai, walk in front of me. Because, say the rabbis, Abraham had the strength to be able to take his own positions and to walk before God, as opposed to Noah, who was constantly only reliant on God and didn't have any internal strength. And they recognized that this idea comes from the fact that when God says he's going to destroy the world, what does Noah say? Exactly. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God says, I'm going to wipe out the entire world. Now, if you were Noah, wouldn't you at least say, God, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, it's a lot of people we're talking about here. But Noah says not a word. And yet, when God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom, one city that Abraham has no relationship to, he argues, he bargains, he tries to get God to change his mind. And so they say, you see, Abraham is a much greater figure than Noah. So the question I asked and have thought about all week is why? What makes Abraham greater than Noah? Is it just that he was born that way? Is it a genetic endowment? Is it the way he was trained? Is there any clue in the Torah itself that lets us figure out what makes Abraham greater than Noah? And I think there is. Because when Noah goes on the ark, he goes with his sons, who are named, and their wives, who are not named, and Eshet Noah, which we can translate as Mrs. Noah, because she doesn't get a name. When Abraham is called to go from Ur Kasdim to Israel, God says, it's the text when it introduces Abraham, says Abraham and his wife Sarai. Actually, Abram and his wife Sarai, because they haven't gotten their full names yet. In other words, unlike Noah, Abraham had a wife who had her own personality and voice, and who he listened to, which we know from a couple of reasons, the most prominent of which is that God says to Abraham later on in the Torah, what Sarah says to you, you should do. Okay, yeah, that, now you can applaud, right? I always say this, you shouldn't applaud, but that you can applaud. That's what God says explicitly to Abraham. He says what Sarah tells you, you should do. Not only that, but remember, when God calls Abraham, he says, Lech Lecha, you go. And Lecha is singular. You know, the English doesn't have singular and plural. But Hebrew has, plural is Lechem. Singular is Lecha. Lech Lecha, you go. But Abraham goes with Sarah. Why does he go with Sarah if God only tells him to go? Because Sarah is a part of him. The two of them are one. And therefore, when God tells him to go, it's perfectly natural. God doesn't have to say, you know, one and guess. When you send an invitation to Abraham, you're sending it to Sarah too, because they're together. And don't forget that they are Abram and Sarai. Each of them then gets a letter added to their name, a hey, which stands for God. So first of all, as they grow, they have God added to themselves, both of them at the same time. They become Abraham and Sarah, no longer Abram and Sarai. But Sarah loses a letter. Abraham just gets the hay. But Sarai becomes Sarah, which means she gets a hay and she loses a yud. But the rabbis tell us where that yud goes. You may or may not be aware of this, but originally the leader of the Jewish people in the land of Israel was named Hoshea, and then later on he is renamed Yehoshua. Joshua gets a yud added to his name. So the rabbis say that yud was given to him by Sarah. Which means that not only is Sarah distinguished in that Abraham should listen to him, but Sarah doesn't only receive, she also gives, because that's the character of the woman that Abraham married. And when you put all this together, you realize that it really is possible that the reason Abraham becomes greater than Noah is because Abraham doesn't do this alone. Because it's the two of them together. I said this morning, when I was talking to Kyla at her bat mitzvah, that remember both Abraham and Sarah laugh when God says, you're going to have a child. Now, not only is laughter very rare in the Torah, very few people are said to laugh. But here you have a couple, both of whom laugh. So they both have the same sensibility. They both look at the world the same way. They both find the same things funny. And they named their child Yitzhak, which means laughter. So you know that they share it together. Because you can just imagine if they didn't, one of them would have said, listen, name the kid whatever you want, but don't name him laughter. The kids will make fun of him. But that was the sensibility that tied them together. And the reason that I wanted to talk about it last week and this week is that even though the voice of women is strong in the Bible, sometimes through Jewish history it started to get lost. So you would hear the voice inside the home, but outside the home, you wouldn't hear it so much. There was in the last, actually now 2 centuries ago, in the 19th century, there was a very great scholar. We still, his books are all over the Jewish religious world. And if you study Torah, you study Rabbi Baruch Epstein, the Torah Tamima. And he talks about the fact that he grew up with a mother who he thought was a brilliant Torah scholar, but was always resentful that she didn't get to teach Torah to the world. And he writes about this, and I thought if she were around today, she would be a Nechama Leibovitz, or an Aviva Zornberg, or a rabbi at Sinai Temple. In other words, she would have a voice. And no longer would people say to her, look, it's true that you have the capacity to teach, but unfortunately you're a woman, you can't teach. And that the model of what Sarah is, because remember, the Jewish people comes through Sarah, not through Abraham. Abraham, after Sarah dies, Abraham has other children. Their names are mentioned, and then they disappear. We don't know anything more about them. They have nothing to do with Jewish history. They did not contribute later on to the progress of humanity. It's Sarah who decides, because she has Isaac. And so for us, for the Jewish people, it's not just that we say we value women and the voices of women. It's right in our founding story. Our founding story is not about a man. Our founding story is about a couple. It's Abraham and Sarah. We saw this morning how it was not going to be Abraham and Hagar. It was going to be Abraham and Sarah. It's that founding couple that makes the Jewish people. And therefore, every time we see a teacher who is a woman, every time we listen to a bat mitzvah, every time we read the story of Sarah, we should be grateful that that contribution exists in our community and in our time. It was not always the case, but now it is. I mean, think about it. It is so powerful that it made its way into the structure and the foundation of the United States as well. Because on the Statue of Liberty are the words of a Jewish woman, Emma Lazarus, a poet. Her voice is a public voice, not a private voice. Her voice isn't only in the home. It's out where everybody can hear. In the Jewish tradition, Kol Isha, the voice of a woman, should be associated with wisdom, with kindness, with all the things that Jewish women bring, not only to the home, but also to the world. You know, there were things always, as you know, the Golda Meir could say and get away with that no other Israeli prime minister could say. And the fact that Israel had a female prime minister already a generation ago, when everybody in America is always talking about whether or not America is ready to elect a woman, well, Jews were ready a long time ago. As long as it was the right person, we were ready. And I think that that's part of the legacy that begins this morning with Abraham and Sarah. It is really a beautiful legacy and a wonderful thing to keep in mind that we're a very small people and we can't afford to take half of our population and say, you don't have a voice. So we should be proud that we live in an age in which women are teachers and rabbis and cantors and have a public voice as well as a private voice. I think that that really is the legacy of Abraham and Sarah. And now, close to 4,000 years later, we realize its power and its wisdom. After all, Zachar dekevah bara otam, right at the beginning in the creation story, that's what we read about God. God created male and female together. Zachar unekevah, ish and isha. And that creation that is created together has to also function in the world together. So I hope that we will continue this beautiful embroidered tapestry of male and female voices. Because when Abraham and Sarah began to journey, they didn't know what was ahead of them. And you know they had very difficult times and moments when they were separated and moments when they came together. But ultimately, it is both of their voices that make up the Jewish people, their legacy, and their history. And we are their lucky descendants. So let us preserve all of our voices in tribute to them and to our own benefit, and also as thanks the God who created all these beautiful, erudite, wise, and kind voices for us to listen to and to learn from. Shabbat shalom.